It is the top of the hour, and it's Tom Cooper, and I am here to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. This program is designed for you. My mentor, John Maxwell, says leadership develops daily, but not in one day. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the leadership skills that are going to be valuable for you today and every day. These leadership principles that we talk about in this program are timeless, and they're easy to apply, and they will pay you back in huge ways. Over my time as a professional, I was frustrated because I saw people moving ahead, and I always talk about this because the beauty of this is that success is attainable, and it requires that you think differently and that you act differently than other people do. And the beauty of it is that you can learn the things that you need to do, and this is your tool for doing that. I get excited about being able to empower people. I was talking with a client not that long ago who had applied some of these ideas, and he said, "Tom, this really works." And that's right, and that's why I created this program, to help people like you figure out how to get the most out of things that are going on in work. And who knew? You can actually use these same leadership skills in your personal life as well. And I wish somebody had told me that, because I just did not know. Now, before we jump in to the lesson today, my question for you is always, how are you going to act when we're done? What can you apply? What can you change? What can you teach? Now, you may get tired of hearing me say this, but I think it's important for you to be reminded, to be listening for those key things. And remember, it's not what I say during these lessons that's super important. It's the thoughts that you think. So as we're going through this lesson, if you find yourself kind of going down a rabbit trail of thought, triggered by the conversation that we're having here, write down what you're going to apply, what you're going to change, what you're going to teach someone else, because our goal is to be a river, not a reservoir. We don't want to hoard all the knowledge. We want to share the things that we're learning as we learn them. Now, in tonight's lesson, we're going to cover some really good ideas when it comes to working as a member of a team. And if you take something from the lesson and begin to apply it in your life, in your work, and in your team, you're going to get some great benefit from that. But maybe as you listen to this tonight, you think, I want to do more. I want to dig in and understand more of this. And if that's you, I promise at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share with you a way you can do just that. So you ready? Let's jump in. Now, I will tell you that when I started in my career, I firmly believed that the formula for success was entirely linked to my personal performance. I thought that as long as I was technically skilled and I worked really hard at being smart, in fact, smarter than other people, I would reach the highest levels of success. And I also believed, I sincerely believed, that I was the person who brought value, that I was the difference maker, that it was my skills and my brain and my two hands, and that is what really mattered. And it's true that personal performance matters. It wasn't enough to get me where I wanted to go. In the first couple of years, as long as I got better at doing the technical stuff that I was doing, as long as I could do my job better than other people could do the same job, I would succeed. And I did. I got raises. They put me in positions like the technical lead because I could get things done with a high level of quality. But I remember looking back and being frustrated because I had a limit. I hit some kind of wall that stopped me from moving ahead. And so I thought, well, I'll just work harder. I'll push harder. I'll do more. And it wasn't working. And I went to my boss and I said, "Boss, I'm the best person on your team at this stuff. Why am I not getting promoted?" And my heart sank when I heard him say, "Tom, you're doing a great job in that role. Why would I promote you?" I was stunned. My model of success didn't match my boss's expectation. There must have been more to it than personal performance, but I didn't know what it was. And I began to search to try to understand what was it that made a difference. And I accidentally discovered that I needed to do more than just being good at my job. And I had a mentor in my career who helped me see that I needed to perform well as part of a team. up until that point, I really, if I'm going to be transparent, I have to say that I saw other people as necessary, but they were there to serve me because I was the one who brought value. They would give me the parameters or the requirements of the job, and then I would deliver. And in my head, I could see that I defined it as I was the hero. I was the one delivering. And ultimately, that's not how it works. That you only exist to serve me, that's not really how leadership works. It's what I would call enlightened self-interest. I mean, I know that I need to do things for you to be able to make things better for me. And I recognize that I need you because I have to have your help in order to get what I want. And as a result, I began to develop some people skills to help get me what I wanted because it was all about me. And the thing is, there are a lot of people that never even get that far. The ability to recognize our dependence on others and a willingness to relate to other people in a way that helps them want to help us, that's a big step on the journey. And even though we're thinking about delivering as a team member, it's still pretty self-focused because I'm focusing practically on what it's going to take for me to deliver the stuff that I need to deliver. It's all about me. And I realize I have to depend on you, so I learn better how to work with you. I'm a team member, but I'm really only a team member because it's in my interest, not because it helps you. And that's not a win. I mean, I'm thinking entirely about what I can personally deliver with my own two hands. Now, as I said, this was a shock to me that my career success was limited, even though I was an excellent performer in the job duties. I mean, what else could it be? I mean, I needed to raise my awareness. And the next level of awareness is recognizing what John Maxwell says, that one is too small a number to achieve greatness. And my ability to deliver is good, and maximizing my ability to deliver, that's good too. But even if I deliver at 100% of performance capability, that's only 100%. The maximum I could ever deliver is 100%. And at my best, I still can't deliver more than one person's worth of results. Now, if I work as a member of a team, the team's capacity exceeds 100% of what one person can produce, or at least it theoretically does, right? If we can get more than one person's worth of production out, that's gonna be a win. Now, of course, nobody is working at full capacity all the time. But let's say you got a team of five people. There's a theoretical maximum performance of 5x, five times 100%. And that means if I produce at my maximum, I'm delivering one. If I, as part of a team, deliver and they deliver, our total capacity is much bigger than me. And even if I'm amazing at my job, but the fact is that I'm amazing sometimes, but not nearly all the time. I'm only able to produce the most, produce the best, when I'm well rested, when I'm emotionally okay, when I'm engaged in the work that I'm doing, and I have all the pieces I need to do my job. If any of those pieces are missing, my job performance is going to suffer. And that's true for everyone on the team. The team members can only perform when they're well rested, when they're emotionally healthy, when they're engaged in the work at hand, and when they have all the resources they need to do their work. And that's the only time that the team can begin to approach maximum production capability. And let's say that there's drama on the team. Have you ever had that situation? Person A and person B are in a big battle over something, and right after a big blowout, there's an assignment or a deadline that requires some cooperation. And how's that going to go? Person A and person B are not going to be able to be at their best. That emotionally okay piece is all stirred up, right? They're mad. They're not going to be able to talk to each other. And if we're going to be transparent, I mean, the whole team is affected by the drama. It's been said that a rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. One bad relationship in a team, it can ruin everybody's performance. Stephen Covey talked about this concept of working together in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And that's a fairly old book now, but the principles in it are timeless and very valuable. One of the ideas he talks about is how when we begin to do anything, at first, we are dependent on others. Just like a baby's dependent on their parents to survive. And I've watched this with my seven kids. A baby just born is totally helpless. They are completely dependent on somebody else. And that's how it is when we start a new role. And we begin to be dependent, and especially here in American culture. We strive for independence. What I need to do is I need to be free from you. But Covey says, while dependence is one stage and independence is another, the higher stage is recognizing our interdependence. That I depend on you and you depend on me, and we have that network of dependencies, and that's what a team is like. When I start to think about being interdependent on other people, when I recognize as a team, we can deliver bigger and more important work than I could deliver on my own. And when my goal is bigger than me, if my goal is to deliver maximum value, then I have to think about more than me, because I can only do 1x. I can only do 100% for one person. I have to make sure that I have the stuff I need, and I need to make sure the other people on the team have the things they need. And that means that sometimes it's the resources to do their job, right? But it also means, are they engaged in work? Are they emotionally okay? Are they getting enough rest? How can I help make sure that they've got all those components that are needed for team performance? So when I begin to think about this level, it changes my perspective from how can you help me to how can I help you? And I don't mean, you know, how can I help you help me, but actually, how can I help you get your stuff done? When I do that, first I have to understand what it is that matters for you. And then I have to be able to help you get what matters to you. Now, candidly, this often begins as kind of a quid pro quo, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours kind of thing. People say, hey, can you help me out, or I need you to do me a favor. And that deeply ties into this principle of reciprocity, because we generally want to help people who've helped us. Now, the unfortunate part about this is that it can often feel transactional. We find ourselves in a situation where I feel like I have to help this person so they'll want to help me or so they will help me. Now, again, if you're thinking that way, what you're thinking is pragmatic, but it's also very self-focused. And what we want to start doing, if we're going to perform at the highest level in our team, is we need to start being others-focused. It's effective to be pragmatic and self-focused to get things done, but it doesn't get you the overall delivery of value that you're after. Top performers know that the key is to build relationships in such a way that other people want to help you. Top sales motivator Zig Ziglar said, you can have anything in life that you want. He said, you can have anything in life that you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And I think that's true. You can have anything in life that you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And that's that principle of reciprocity. It's one of the six principles of ethical influence that Dr. Cialdini talks about in his book, Influence. It's that idea that if I'm going to be willing, if I want to get the most out of my team, if I want to serve others, I can leverage this principle of reciprocity by being the first to give service to others, the first to give information, the first to give concessions in a negotiation. Now, it's simple that if I understand what you want and I can help you get what you want, then you're going to want to help me get what I want. But here's the thing, if I really, really, really down deep, if I only care about getting what I want, if I only care about me, then you're not going to care about helping me. Now, this principle is simple, but it's not easy. You have to believe that the team delivers value and that the team can deliver more value than you could deliver. You have to choose to make the connections you need to understand what other people need and then take action intentionally to help them. Now, some of you, especially if you're kind of task-focused the way I am, you're going to think, wait a minute, does this mean I'm not going to get my stuff done? Well, it might slow you down at least a bit when you're getting started. But the great thing is that as you build the relationships and you serve the other people on the team, team members are going to be more cooperative. And they're going to be more helpful with you. you may be able to have them do some of the things that were on your to-do list. You may find that your communication with team members improves. And when communication with team members improves, let me tell you what happens. Things get better. They get better because people understand each other better. They get better because you have fewer miscommunications. Have you ever had a time where you and a coworker miscommunicated and you were diligent and hardworking and pursued getting a result, but it turned out to be the wrong result? And then you have to go back. There's always time to do it right the second time. But if your team is communicating and connecting and serving each other and understanding each other, you have less rework. You improve team performance. And that's why it's really efficient. So the key to long-term success on the team is finding a way to maximize the value that the team delivers. So I want to talk for just a minute about value. What does it mean to deliver value? Now, in my early days of my career, I thought it was about perfectly delivering the thing, the technical thing, whatever the technical thing was. But let me give you an example from quick service restaurants. I was ordering food for my large family, and because there's so many of us, we have a lot of items and a lot of opportunities to have an expectation get missed. And in this one situation, I was in a restaurant and I'd ordered some food, and I was going over the food and I was comparing it to the receipt, and I discovered that we were one order of fries short. With 10 of us, this happens fairly commonly, and we've learned that we've got to check or somebody's going to be disappointed. So when it comes to food orders, it's important to get the order right because you're feeding people. Getting the order right matters. And that's the equivalent of getting the technical thing right. You ordered X and you got X. Now, many years ago, I worked in the restaurant industry, and we had a service training that I've never forgotten. And one of the key things they suggested to us was that restaurants are tough in particular because people's expectations are so high. I want you to give me what I ordered, exactly what I ordered, close in time to when I ordered it, right? Cooked exactly the way I wanted, and that's the bare minimum. But when it comes to the value in the transaction, why do people go to a restaurant? Why do they go? Well, of course they want to eat, and they do it for convenience or flavor, and ultimately they're doing it for a positive experience. The transaction has value when they get convenience and flavor and a positive experience. All of those pieces have to be in place for it to be valuable. So in my French fry situation, I mentioned to the manager that we were missing an order of French fries. Now, I could tell that she was uncertain as to whether or not she had set aside the food correctly for us. And I could tell that she was pretty sure that she was right and I was wrong. And I watched her as she was wrestling with, how am I going to resolve this conflict? What ought she to do? And I think she might have had some brain freeze because she paused for about 4 or 5 awkward seconds, which doesn't sound like very long, but if you're staring face to face with somebody and they're just thinking for 4 or 5 seconds, it does seem a little bit awkward. And eventually she said, "Here, take these fries." And she handed me the order of French fries. Now, that's the right decision. That was the right technical outcome in that situation. But the experience was memorable. And in a way, I don't think the restaurant wanted. One factor in that value is making positive memories, making people feel good about the experience of working with you. And that day, that team blew that part of the equation. The cashier might have said, "Well, I did my part right. I took the order properly." And the French fry cook might have said, I made the fries right." And the manager might even say, "Well, I delivered all the food that they ordered to them." And yet the team wasn't able to execute at the maximum value because they were each looking at their individual part of the process and not the overall customer experience. But fundamentally, the whole is bigger than the individual team members. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together, says the proverb. And I think that's true. With my family, we have been known to take long road trips, and we can go on long road trips working together. I've now got kids who are old enough to drive part of the journey, and it helps to go farther because when I get tired or my wife gets tired, somebody else can get behind the wheel and drive. Working as a team, focusing on the value that the team delivers, is the best way to maximize your overall results. So here we are. It's time for your personal action plan. I told you at the top of the lesson we were going to think about what you can apply, what you can change, and what you can teach. And now is a good time for you to be reflecting on the things that we talked about in the lesson to come up with your plan about one thing or two things you're going to try to do as a result of this, that you're going to commit to yourself, that you're going to do. So let me recap a couple of ideas from today's lesson while you're working on that. First, are you thinking as an individual contributor, as a lone delivery person? Are you optimizing or maximizing your part of the process, like the fry cook or the cashier? Do you see yourself as a member of a team, but really in that what can you do for me mindset? I was that way for so long. Are you thinking about being a team member who is dependent on others, but also has team members who depend on you? Now, when it comes to your action plan, what's one idea that you can apply or change or teach? And maybe you're with your team, and this is a great opportunity to have a conversation about what does it mean for me to deliver value? If we're on a team and we're delivering as a team, what does that mean from a value perspective? Now, at the beginning of today's lesson, I mentioned I'd let you know about how to get more on this topic. And for those of you who might want to do that, I've got a 4-session coaching program on the book Developing the Leader Within You. Now, this book is the one that exposed me to the idea that I could personally grow, that I could learn how to develop leadership and influence skills that would help me take my career to the next level. I would really enjoy working with you on that. The cost for this study is $199 a person, and in these 4 sessions, you're going to get some new skills, you're going to create your development plan, and you're going to have practical ideas that you can immediately use. Sound good? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we will get that set up for you. Thank you for being here for this week's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to seeing you next time.